Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Loot Trek Show.
Show number 53 for Thursday, May 20th, 2010.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
And now, two guys who make Lenny and Squiggy look like two frickin' rocket scientists. Your host, Lou Costanzo and Brian Dettimore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Loot Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.loottrekshow.com. You can send us topic suggestions as well as questions and comments. Our email address is loottrekshow, and that's all one word, @gmail.com. Keep your email somewhat brief and to the point, and we will work them in as part of a future show. You can follow us on Twitter by going to loottrekshow.com/Twitter. And you can even send us a voicemail on Skype by plugging in Loot Trek Show. And that's all one word on Skype. And same with the Twitter thing. You can do the Facebook, the MySpace, just loottrekshow.com/, whatever you want. And so tonight, we have a couple guests to help us with some interesting topic that I've been trying to do for the last 5 weeks, but haven't been able to do it. So, Brian, you ready to try and tackle this topic with me?
Always, Lou, always.
Always, you sure? Are you willing to
positive?
Are you willing to upgrade Skype for me?
I didn't have no choice. My computer did it for me.
Or we're going to have to get him on the new Skype so we can maybe all do a video conference sometime. But
I am on new Skype.
No, the beta one.
I am on the beta one.
You're on the beta one now?
It just upgraded me
a few minutes ago. Gotcha. Well, then maybe some other day we'll do a...
Did you not read my comment? Effing computer just updated my ass.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Your ass is updated. Good enough. Okay. Well, we do have a couple guests who've been on a few times, and they've been on and they've not had their own intro jingle. And I think it's time to fix that, don't you?
Yeah, as soon as you induce my jingle.
Oh, well.
Go ahead.
I used to put you on one, but I lumped you with mine. But anyway, here we go. Let's do this one here. Things disappear, but it's not able to stop me from saying this.
Whoa, what was that?
Wait, how'd you do that? Your guest tonight, from Thin Air Magic, the Reverend Timothy Walker. I think I just saw a look of panic on another guest's face when I did that. Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Just when you thought it was safe to download your radio show. I'm doing great, Lou. That was wonderful. I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much.
No problem.
I feel like I am important and have value in the universe now.
Yes, at least the Lou Trek Show universe you do.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, Brian.
Did I tell you that we finally, after 3.5 months, finally got our house banner for the United States sent to us by our liege out in England?
See, that's what happens when you tick off Homeland Security, brother. they will nail you to the wall.
Well, no, he sent it by snail mail.
Oh.
All right. Well, hey, guys, let me interrupt you because our next guest is dying to be put on the show. And
he is?
Yes.
He's dead, Jim.
Yeah, now, Brian, I don't sing very often, and here might be a good reason why.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of Paul. He's living as a blogger in Cincinnati.
Okay, let's do that again because somebody couldn't help but talk. God.
I wouldn't know who that was. Would you, Tim?
No, I have no idea. No idea. He threw his voice.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
He threw his voice. It was magic. But here we go. Let's try this again.
Baby. baby, if you've ever wondered, whatever became of Paul. He's living as a blogger in Cincinnati. Tech-linkblog.com is where he's at. He's blogging about cell phones to make you smarter. Digital cameras and Roku boxes, too. He blogs all about the cool stuff that we love so much. So, baby, check out his blog once in a while. It's at tech-linkblog.com in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, that wasn't half bad, Lou.
Believe it or not, you actually made me laugh.
Yes, yeah. I saw that.
Living proof that even a blind squirrel can find an acorn.
Oh, my microphone was muted that time.
Yes, it was. Yours was the only one, unfortunately.
Hey, well, you trying to stay, man.
You trying to stay. All right.
It's a good day to die, you know.
Well, does anybody have any Trek news? I got nothing.
No?
I got nothing.
Oh, yeah. SS Tipton from the show of... what's that show that is on Disney now with the two twins? It was on, just got the email.
Jonas Brothers?
Well, not the Jonas Brothers, but...
SS
Up on Deck.
Tell me what SS Tipton is.
Yeah, it's a.
Oh, the Suite Life on Deck.
Yeah. They had Sulu on that like last week. He was
interesting.
Well, Sulu's been doing commercials for that Vivio TV. It's got four TV. Colors.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Paul, you're making me dizzy. Okay, well, here's some interesting Trek news. We've been talking about this since last year, and now they're going to do it again. We're going to try and get Walter his star. The Hollywood Walk of Fame Committee will be voting again in June 2010. I don't know when in June, but they're supposed to be in June 2010. So everybody listening to this, all 28 of you, please send Walter, or send the committee your message saying that Walter needs to get his star. And I'm going to include that link in the show notes. So,
you know, I'm really surprised that he has not gotten his star between Star Trek and Green Beret, plus the fact that he is a Japanese-American, that his family was in the internment camp.
I'm sorry, hold on, stop.
Yeah.
I'll try and edit that out, but in case I forget, everyone, he's confusing Walter Koenig with George Takei. Yeah. So
Walter Koenig is from Russia, not from China.
Is he really from Russia, though?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't born in Russia, was he?
He's got his family lines in Russia.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. No, he was born in Chicago on September 14th, 1936. So, I don't know, maybe he does have some...
Hey, I can't laugh at the guy saying Russia. I'm sitting here calling Walter Koenig a Japanese American. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Got the wrong okay.
From us at the Lou Trek Show, we are sorry for getting you confused with Mr. Sulu.
Yes. Yes. But if you want to come out of the closet too, you're welcome to.
Yeah.
And Mr. Sulu, we're sorry for calling you Russian.
Yes. Yes.
It's those Sino-Russian peace agreements. They confuse everyone.
Oh, yeah. Well, you figure that, you know, at one point in the front of the ship on the Starship Enterprise was one enemy we currently hated, and the other was the enemy that we, you know...
Very shortly would.
Well, no, that we, Nagasaki'd or Hiroshima'd. So, sorry, guys.
Have you ever caught a shot, and I'm trying to think of which episode it is, but there's one shot of Sulu where he tilts his head just right and the lighting is just off enough that he looks almost exactly like Mao Zedong?
No, because I don't know who Mao Zedong is.
Head of the Communist Party in China.
Ah, okay.
mousy tongue.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Sounds like you. Sounds like somebody's tried to be a mouseketeer.
Mm-hmm. It was a mouseka joke, but I didn't get it at the start. Okay.
And it cheesed out.
Yes, it did. Okay, now that's two bad jokes on you, Tim. One more and you're done.
No, I'm just fitting in, brother.
That's true. Okay, did everybody come up with some cliches over the last week?
Yes, I did.
Well, he's said it first, so give us a couple.
He's dead, Jim.
You get his wallet, I'll get his tricorder.
Mm-hmm. We come in peace, shoot to kill. Anyway, well, I guess I walked into
Pardon my engineering pun, but I would really like to get my hands on those ample nacelles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh,
well, I mean, you know, cliches like meeting new races and having fist fights with them.
And Bart always having to have sex with the first lady he sees.
That's Riker. You're confusing.
Riker, and then Kirk does the alien species, right?
Yes, Kirk gets the species, Riker gets the women, Picard wishes he had them both. The women, not Kirk and Picard.
Picard gets all the crazies.
Yes.
Picard just wishes that he had hair. That's
make it so. Yes. Okay.
And then Khan.
I was just watching the Star Trek auction. You remember they did a movie or a show of that on the History Channel? Mm-hmm. That big auction they had where they got rid of Enterprise D and all this other stuff. And they were talking with Nichelle Nichols. And she was talking about how she still has one of the little earpieces that she wore in the show. And she said something to the effect of, and sometimes it just seems like yesterday that I was saying, hailing frequencies open, Captain. There's your cliche line.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go.
I like the other one. I'm a doctor, Jim, not a insert your occupation here.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
How about Scotty? How about one of the biggest cliches? Red shirts.
Blue shirts.
No, just red shirts. Red shirts.
Are you punching each other now?
Yeah.
Red shirts.
That was red, black, and blue. I also like the one where Data's trying to become human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Tim. We'll let these two fatty rats beat each other silly, then we can pick up the pieces afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, you bumpy-headed moron. And real Klingons are smooth and communist. Mm-hmm. Now, let's be...
Wow.
Which Klingons are we talking about? The ones that we... Do when we have to go wipe or what?
Now, how about for a cliche, any episode that begins with the shuttlecraft trip? You know that's not going to go good.
No.
Something's going to happen. It's almost a cliche. It has to happen bad.
Okay, my son has a T-shirt, and on the front of it, it shows Kirk, Spock, McCoy, and a red shirt. And on the bottom, it says, guess which one's not coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I meant by red shirts.
Yeah. But that is true of any show with a shuttlecraft.
Yep.
Okay.
Red shirt is going to die. Mm-hmm. Shuttlecraft, dead red shirt.
Except
what about the people who. What about the episodes?
There's always an exception to that red shirt rule now, guys.
Hold on, Brian. Paul was just saying something. Try to get Brian. Paul.
What about?
Go ahead, Paul.
What about those shows that have the time travel plot lines in them?
Yeah, that's another thing. The reverse time travel cliches always ending up back at the exact same second they left, or always going to the time frame that they're in. Yes.
I always loved that one, though.
Yeah.
Mr. Atos would be proud of you.
Yes. Yep. Even though time travel would be haphazard at best. But they always do it right.
Well, actually, time travel would be almost impossible to be truthful if you really think about it.
Yeah.
And we'll because if you go faster than light, you're actually going to kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing that.
I can prove to you guys right here and now, in front of all 28 viewers, that time travel is not going to happen. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it's never happened. Nobody has come back from the past, from the future, so it's never going to happen. Now, what I want is some guy to appear right here in my room right now and tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
What? Who was that?
You're wrong.
Not only did you go back in time, you were invisible. Anyway.
Okay, I have the ultimate answer to this question about time travel.
There we go. Go for it.
Knock, knock.
Paul, you want to do it?
No, I don't want to do it.
Brian, you want to do it?
Don't look at me. I don't fall for bad Klingon jokes.
Okay, who's there? Who's
Doctor.
There? Doctor. Oh, God.
Exactly.
Doctor exactly? Okay.
Yeah. Who?
Who? Who? Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Who are you?
Who?
Who?
Who put the tribbles in the quadratridicale? Nobody knows, but they're multiplying daily. It's a Klingon trick, we know, but Spock has the answer, so tribbles in the quadratridicale.
I hate to tell you, but Klingons don't like tribbles, so it wouldn't have been the Klingons who did it. Probably the Romulans.
No, that's true.
I know the point. Yep.
Guess what? I think we just figured out our new show theme song.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Tim, can I have your express written permission to play that as our theme song? Too bad, I'm gonna do it anyway.
I kind of like that one better, Dendo.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Oh man, okay. That is the has to be one of the earliest Filk's songs. I learned
know.
That in 1970 Star Trek Filk. Let me specify. I learned because they were doing Lord of the Rings Filk long before that, but. I learned that in 1975, 76, something like that. They had the very first ever sci-fi convention in Arkansas. Roger Zelazny was there. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's an excellent science fiction writer. And one of the guys was sitting down singing Trek Filk, and that was the one that stuck. So.
Okay.
Although I think Leonard Nimoy did a pretty good job on Bilbo.
Bilbo and highly illogical. Uh-huh. I think, yeah. Lou, I think you have both of those, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, somewhere, but I ain't got time to look for them. But now, can we get back to what we were discussing before...
you start killing people?
No, I was just thinking... that eventually Brian's going to want to say something like, what branch of military he used to serve in.
Never! I'll let you guys screw up today.
I'm not sure. Was it the Navy? Was that what he was in?
Yeah, that's the one.
YMCA.
No, it's not YMCA.
Almost.
Thank you, Lou.
Yeah, anytime, Brian. Actually, you know something? I got a new mix of the YMCA and in the Navy. I'm going to have to play it someday. Okay, anybody got any more cliches?
I got a good cliche. Remember Star Trek Insurrection? Mm-hmm. They had to get Data to not think about what Picard and Worf was going to do, so they got him singing some sailor song. There's your Navy, Lou.
Oh, come on. How can you do this to me?
Yeah, that
so
was.
So, if you paid attention, because I know you're not paying attention.
Pirates of Penzance.
Was it Pirates of Penzance?
He was doing a song from Pirates of Penzance.
The fear and darkness all around you. Okay, so I like this better. What are you gonna do?
Send an email to Dog and tell him you're using his music and have him come on the show and jump your butt about it.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
What was that?
That's Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, let me hear him.
Oh, okay.
I'll play the TV version here for you. The fear and darkness all around you. That's Ozzy Osbourne.
I thought that's who that was. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Oh.
I'm the dog.
the big bad dog, the bounty hunter.
Oh. Sorry, I owed you one, Navy. Anyway,
you know,
how about
that whole dog thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who's the bigger queen, him or his wife. You look at their hair, I suspect he uses more white rain than she does. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't.
I can kind of believe that. Okay.
I got another good one for a cliche.
Yeah?
A warp core breach.
Mm-hmm. Warp core
you know how
breach.
They're always having a warp core breach, but at the end of the day, nothing blows up.
And here's the one that extends that. How about when the captain says, eject the warp core? How about the warp core ejection sequence is offline? That always is. That's a cliche. It's
yeah.
always offline. Or let me do three in a row. How about they're remodulating their shields? So what's the captain say? Compensate. Or how about the transporter beam is degrading? What's the captain say? Compensate. Or finally, how about we're losing attitude control? So what does the captain say? Say it with me,
get
guys.
A grip.
Compensate.
Compensate.
Yes, yeah. It's like, thank God the captain was there to help save us because we wouldn't know what the hell to do if it wasn't for her.
And by the way, for the record, when they've been told there's a warp core breach, there has been one warp core breach. The USS Enterprise D blew up because of a warp core breach.
But that was in the movie. We'll talk about TV shows.
No, in the series too, it blew up about six times in one episode.
Oh yeah, that's right. But then that was like a time loop.
Cause and effect. Yep.
Okay.
Isn't
now,
that funny how I can come
up with time? Did one of the Constellation class starships blow up because of a warp core breach when they were fighting that big planet-eating monster? Because he told Mr. Scott
yes.
to set the ship up for a warp core breach,
yep.
and Scotty came back and said, that ain't too hard to do. I'm barely keeping it running now.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that was good. That was good, yep.
So, yes, okay. It has been a warp core breach on a Star Trek show other than Star Trek The Next Generation.
All right, now here's one for
here's
you guys.
Plot cliche that we might want to talk about. Why would you want the holodeck to have... to remove the safeties on it. You know, why would you want the holodeck to be lethal?
Well, I mean, B'Elanna had her reasons, but anyway.
there should be no way where you can make it lethal.
Yeah. Here's one that
but
was...
B'Elanna's a freak!
Yeah. Here's one that was an extension of what I said earlier. Here's another one. Crash. The entire ship shakes around, and the captain says... Report! Report!
Okay. Wait a minute. There's another one that you missed there.
Report. As if she can't
one
figure
more
out what's
like
going on.
That, Captain, and she'll blow apart.
Oh, yes. Or we can't take another hit. Of course
yeah.
you can. You're going to get
shields
five
down
more.
To 30%.
Shields,
or,
shields
know, it's
are
always...
gone. Yes,
and
shields are gone.
Can't take any more, Captain.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, you know, they started at 100%. Bam! First hit. Shields are down to 72. Bam! Shields are down to 51. Bam! Shields are down to 16. Bam! Shields are gone. Bam! Then why didn't you get destroyed?
Yeah.
Bam!
Because then the show is too short.
Yes.
mean, there's no logic to it. Old country song rewritten. Looking for logic in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the same argument. You talk about the cliche. You were talking about the BAMs, right? Okay, BAM! Everybody falls out of their chair.
Mm-hmm.
They get up, get back in their chair, BAM! Everybody falls out of their chairs.
Yeah.
Where's the freaking seatbelts?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for that matter, why does a beam or a bomb or whatever they're shooting at them hit the shield, which is an electronic force field,
yeah.
and it carries the force of the waves through the shield, through empty space, into the hull of the ship,
mm-hmm.
the whole ship shakes and everybody falls down.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's another thing. It's supposed to have inertial dampeners, so you shouldn't even be able to feel it in the first place.
Yeah, but how many times? How many times have the inertial dampers been offline? If they were offline, how in the hell are you still there?
They actually answered the question about why everybody falls out, why there are no seatbelts. In the very first, if you guys have never read these, you have got to immediately, as soon as we get done, get on Amazon and buy a copy of each one of them.
Use Paul's link.
Download the audiobook.
Use Paul's
link. The World of Star Trek, The Making of Star Trek, and The Trouble with Tribbles.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you a link.
There you go.
Those are absolutely amazing. But on there, they talk about the seatbelt issue. I think it's on The World of Star Trek. In that book, and they were asked, why don't they put seat belts on the chairs? And the answer, network genius, then they couldn't fall out of their seats.
Yes. Well, I mean,
that's the whole
Admiral Kirk did have seat belts on the first movie, right?
Yeah, he did. They had
shoulder strap.
No, rig. It went over his legs. It actually went over his legs. So,
and they had it in the cutout scene of the last Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
But if you get the video and you look at the scenes, they actually had a seatbelt system set up for the captain in his chair.
Mm-hmm. Here's one. Do you ever notice that all clothing looks suspiciously similar to what humans wear or can accept? I mean, you know, Bajoran gowns. You know, business suits and the Ferengi. I mean, when will we ever meet the nudist race?
I think the closest we got was Risa.
Yeah.
No,
okay, stop sending
closest,
links.
Damn it. The closest other one was the Beta Zed. Because remember they're... Oh, no.
Yeah.
Quark. The women are naked.
Yes, they are.
The women are always naked.
But we don't ever see them.
Are you really disappointed in that? Have you seen the Ferengi?
His mother did come out and took her clothes off, and I almost wanted to die. You didn't even see it.
Your mother is so gorgeous. Hey, Quark, my boy.
Anyway.
Okay.
I gotcha.
Well, there was a question. Let me answer it real quick. The three books are The World of Star Trek, The Making of Star Trek, and The Trouble with Tribbles. Mm-hmm. The Making of Star Trek and The Trouble with Tribbles were both written by David Gerrold, mm-hmm. who wrote the original script for The Trouble with Tribbles, and More Tribbles, More Troubles on the original animated series.
There you go, guys. Check it out.
Far too much information.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. What else do you guys have for cliches?
Oh, and they touched on it so wonderfully on Galaxy Quest. Do you remember where the commander's on the planet? And he ends up without a shirt, and the guy says, "Oh, wonderful! He managed to get out of his shirt again," or something
That's true. Yeah.
If there was a chance to get William Shatner in a shot with no shirt, by heavens, it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It had to.
It just had to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see here. How about? Go ahead.
And we go back and using what he was saying from that show. They always say that there's always some complicated way of dealing with a problem that could have been just something simple to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Always.
Yep. Okay, how about weapons fire that totally obliterate every other starship in the galaxy, only incapacitates the Enterprise at best? Didn't that always do that?
What's your point? It's the Enterprise.
That's a cliche.
Have you learned nothing?
Mm-hmm.
God writes the Enterprise. His name is Kirk.
there you go.
I know that's wrong. It's really wrong. I'm sorry, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's, you know, that's really kind of what it is. But yeah, it's definitely a cliche. I mean, you could blow up planets and hit the Enterprise with the same thing, and only thing that happened is everybody would fall out of their chair and they'd go, shields down to 30%, Captain.
Yeah, who was it that said that it, without inertial dampers, they'd all end up stains on the back wall?
They would.
I think that
think
was
about
Paris
how much power is being sent out with these weapons and hitting against the shields. Most of them would be splattered on
Splattered
without
wall.
Inertial dampeners, man. Let's get real here.
So how
stained
about
glass Star Trek?
How about one cliche? How about we get an episode or a series where the Federation loses?
Mirror Universe.
Twin.
On DS9, wasn't it?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. What happened was after Spock took over what would be the Federation there, the Klingons came in and took over the Federation. I think it was like 3 years or 4 years after that. That's how come the Klingons were in charge of the whole Alpha and Beta Quadrant when the DS9 people were going back to the Mirror Universe time. Because I heard him tell the history of how they came into power in one of the DS9 episodes.
Nerys told that, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the conversation? She was talking to Sisko, I think. But she was giving him the lowdown on doing. They let her character do all the background on it, on how they got to where they were. And she talked about how Spock had met, evidently that Spock-Kirk thing had become common knowledge. Spock had, I think, assassinated.
Yeah.
The Kirk, and anyway, but that, we're off the cliche thing. But anyway, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they did actually lose, and they didn't do really well against the Borg either, did they?
Yep.
Which comes up with another good cliche is, they may be or may not be gods.
Maybe, maybe not.
You know, with Q, Borg, all these other people.
Got a question for you guys. What does God need with the starship?
What does God need with the starship? That was classic.
Okay, how about a cliche?
You didn't answer my question.
Yeah.
What does God need with the starship?
Your question, not mine.
Yeah. He has his doubts. Yeah, he has his doubts. I think him and every of the five million viewers watching have their doubts. Okay. How about a cliche of where there's an episode where for some reason everyone wants to have sex with everyone else. But one thing you never saw was the homosexual thing. Oh, wait, I'm wrong. I forgot about the Trill thing with Jadzia. Okay. Be honest,
Dr.
guys.
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Oh, that's true, but she didn't go as far as Jadzia did with the big kiss. Now, guys, be honest. All 28 of you that are men, were you not the least bit interested in that Trill thing?
Honest and truthfully, it pissed me the frag off.
Why?
Okay, well, there's one down, three to go.
I'll tell you why.
At least we've cleared up that homosexual issue. Mm-hmm. But then, again, he was in the Navy.
I was ready this time.
Go, Luke, go.
I lost a lot of crew when I first started off Gorkon, and Beverly Crusher gave that kiss to that lady. Pissed me off because all I could hear from the preachers where I lived at and up there in Grant County was, this is Star Trek's promoting homosexuality. This is wrong. And I'm like,
uh-oh. You just happened to say that with the preacher on the line. God, I don't want to know what we're thinking of now.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I'm just going to sit back and let y'all send yourselves to hell. I don't
know. Yeah. I've already got my first class ticket.
I've already got the express line to hell, so I'm ready to take charge when I get down there. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Here's and I'm not going to get real heavy on the thing, but here's my point on the whole thing. Whenever Jesus was presented with a woman caught in adultery and was told that what was supposed to happen to her was she should be stoned or, you know, killed, he responded by saying, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." Okay?
Thank you.
So this whole homosexuality thing, the minute that your slate is clean, come talk to me about somebody else's sin.
Tim.
Okay.
And you know what? And this is why I respect you as a preacher and a Christian, is because of that statement right there. And the ones that I respect the most use that same statement and use it with the same vigor and authority that you just mentioned it here, and have earned my utmost respect. Because a lot of them do a lot of judging.
And that and 229 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
229? Not a chance.
Sorry.
If we both walk into Starbucks, Brian, I might actually just buy you a cup of coffee because.
I may hold you to that.
$5. I call it $5.
No, I drink the cheap stuff.
So do I.
I don't even drink it, so I'm good there. Let's change this conversation quickly back.
Okay.
Anyone got anyone before I do this one?
I was trying to think.
How about
I like how they clichely hand the baton off from in the movies. Uh-huh. They hand the baton off to each group that's taking over. They did, from the original movie, they handed it off to the next gen, and from the next gen, they didn't really hand it off to the new ones that are out there. But they brought Spock back, who was part of the next gen, to go back into the Star Trek 11 people. They've always went from somebody passing the baton off to somebody else to a new group.
Paul, can you see what I'm doing? I'm reaching, because he is too.
Reach.
Reach.
What are you reaching for?
That was a good reach. I got to be honest with you. You reached on that one.
Okay.
How about whenever contact is made with the planet, the first person to answer the hail is always the most powerful person on the planet, the prelate, the elected one, whatever. Now, such technology exists. Advanced people, have they never heard of secretaries?
Yeah, I'll just pick up the phone and give a call to Obama. I'm sure he's waiting to hear from me.
President Obama here. How can I help you?
Exactly.
Barack, is that you?
Yeah, we'll use this as an example. USS Enterprise E is orbiting over us right now. Now, if they beam down a message, who you think they're going to contact first? They going to contact the governor of Virginia? They going to contact the mayor of Washington, D.C.? Oh, heck no. They're going to go straight to Obama. Let's get real here for a
minute.
They'll
just beam into his office.
I don't know. If the UFO thing is any judge, they're going to go to the Jodes out in West Virginia with three teeth, four cars up on block going, "Yeah, come down, took me, and they probed me." You know, this is the same guy that's on the news going, "That tornado sounded just like a freight train." You know, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's who they're going to talk to. They don't want to talk to the president. They want to talk to Billy Bob.
Okay. Anybody else got something? Because I got a few more.
Oh,
hey, Paul's awfully quiet there. Are you okay there, Paul?
Paul muted himself. That's nice.
Oh, no.
I can hear him. I could see him talking, but I don't hear him.
He's dead, Jim.
He's one of those, you know, seen but not heard. Speak
just
only
just when you thought it was safe to go back on the radio.
Yeah, Paul.
Get another cliche.
Yeah, Paul. Speak only when you're spoken to.
Hey, speaking of the ultimate cliche, we have to thank Paul for something here, because as much as I hate to say this, Paul was the reason why I'm the host of the Lou Track Show.
Yeah, there we go. Heard that one before. Okay, well, Paul's still not back, so let's give him a little more time to work on his problem. Maybe he's still... Okay, Brian. Maybe he's still using Cricket for his service provider.
Oh my heavens! We hit that back in Arkansas.
Somebody stepped on it. Okay, how about any benevolent or really generous culture always has a nasty streak or hidden agenda. So in other words, Starship's mates never ever run into genuinely nice people because there are no such things, is there? Who keeps clicking?
Never.
Okay,
actually, they did. Organians. Okay.
There you go. All right. Now, Paul, we just took a small break, and Paul just said something that really irritates me. Paul, would you like to say that again?
I'm using my wireless internet.
Wrong! You got to be wired, man. You got to be wired.
No, you don't have to be wired.
What do you think Mike would say right now?
Mike would tell me that wired is better, but I also got the wireless network going.
I have a wireless N network too, but if you have crap coming into the computer, it doesn't do any good either way.
How do I sound?
Oh, you keep bumping in and out. How does he sound, guys?
How do I sound?
He sounds kind of echoey, loud,
and fuzzy.
But we appreciate him being fuzzy.
I'm always fuzzy logic here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, okay. Lou, I just got sent a transmission from the USS Indiana.
Yeah, what do they have to say?
Well, I'm linking it into your guys' chat. It's the new Star Trek ornament coming out for 2010 from Hallmark.
Really?
Which, by the way, I will get at a nice, plump 60% discount because I'm special and I'm unique and I have a mother who works for Hallmark.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm such an evil Klingon.
Wow. Hallmark Trek Christmas 2010. All right, everyone, check it out. Okay, where are we at now? How about most alien races that we meet are all humanoid, bipedal, 6 feet tall? I want to get one that's made out of kangaroos.
How about one made out of silicon?
The Horde.
Let me really talk that.
Or one made out of glass. You bust them, they shatter.
The crystalline entity.
There you go.
Yeah. The Horda was just huge because we had something that you really don't see very often, which is an intelligent cognizant being that doesn't walk upright have that human form, and it was created by Janos Prohaska, apologies,
maybe
guys.
Maybe that would have been better. Go on.
But, you've got exactly what you're talking about there, which is the non-human, not even organic life as we know it. It was silicon based, mm-hmm. So which has been a theory for a long time. But they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that we had one in Next Generation. Can't think of the name of it. It was an outpost.
There was the. Of course, I keep going back to classic, but the Companion. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
The gassy, vaporous critter that was there with the inventor of warp drive on the planet.
Yep.
What about that one life form that was sucking energy off the Enterprise because the creature thought that was the Enterprise
its
was
mama.
Its mother.
Mm-hmm.
Its mama.
Mama.
And what about that one that's actually a living starship?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was...
And how about that in Voyager, they got to a planet that was very hostile, that couldn't sustain any life whatsoever, and the animate creation of that planet made copies of all of the Voyager crew tried to continue on their mission.
The demon planet.
Yeah. they weren't standard humanized life forms that we are used to seeing.
Okay. Anybody got any more?
Just trying to so many of the classic things. I know the one I was thinking of. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I'm a doctor, not a fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Where else did we hear that?
Voyager happened a lot. I'm a doctor, not a nightlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there we have that multi-generational cliche that continues on. We saw it in the new Trek movie. I'm giving out all she's got, Captain. Well, when he said that, the audience I was sitting with went nuts.
Yeah.
They just loved that. But that's that, the cliches themselves are part and parcel of what Trek is, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Absolutely.
And that's how we identify it. I mean, I was watching I was watching Doctor Who, the new one, the other day, and the girl on there was talking about. She said, "Well, the ship's overhead. They'll be beaming me up any moment." And I was like, "They're beaming you up? Where have I heard that before?" You know, I mean, it's part of our national, maybe even world culture now. Mm-hmm. You know, beaming up, phasers, just the terminology. I carry a freaking communicator. We call them cell phones. You know, but it is in and of itself a cliche, don't you think?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, big time. Mm-hmm. Well, look at
and what about the iPad?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Oh, yeah, just add a D on the end and knock that I off and get Apple to shut up for a while. And, yeah, it's a pad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then.
I wonder how many Star Trek fans have emailed Apple and told them, you know what, guys, you'd sell this a whole lot better if you just take the I off and just put an extra D on and just call it the pad.
Yep.
You probably get all these Trek fans and buy three or four of them at a time for you.
Uh-huh. Do what? I'm sorry, my son is telling me something.
Well, he was pretty much saying the same thing you were saying. That's what it sounded like to me.
He's actually telling me he's seen that they are working on a cell phone that attaches to your shirt, much like the comm badge.
No kidding.
You know, and I mean, we're right on the brink of having bio beds like on the original series.
Yeah.
They have a working tricorder.
Really?
It doesn't perform the same functions, but it is the concept tricorder three. Recorders, basically, mm-hmm. So it's recording three different types of information, and they have tricorders. Mm. And they're handheld units. The military has them. They look like a little walkie-talkie or something. But all that stuff, you know, the things that... And I think that's kind of what's funny. We're talking about the cliches, you know, on the line, you know, lines that are spoken and things that happen in the episodes. But we're seeing this stuff come to life. The cliches are becoming... reality.
Yep.
I mean, just to be kind of silly, but if you grab one of the older Nintendos, they look like the tricorders. If you pop it open, you wouldn't know the difference between a game system from a Star Trek tricorder. Huh. From the newest one from like Insurrection and the last movie, Nemesis. Because I'm looking at one right now, and it looks just like the tricorder that they were using in the movie.
Mm-hmm. It may be. They may have kitbashed one.
Yeah. I mean, it's technology, as a cliche goes. Star Trek is making what we now have possible because, old cliche, someone saw it as a Trekkie fan. And went and got the education and the skills to create it.
Yeah. And that was Star what, Brian? Huh? Star what?
Star Trek.
Yeah. How do you spell that?
T-R-E-K.
And that's Star what?
Track.
See, now, Brian, we've already been through this, okay?
I know.
Brian,
and he's agitating me because of...
Yeah,
but you keep playing in the Navy, so if you can play that, I can mess with the track.
That's not true. Okay. Brian seems to have this one Trek mind, I guess.
We'll get him on Trek all together now, people.
Yes, let's get back on Trek. Okay.
I thought that's what we were.
What? We were what? What, Brian?
Just talking.
Back on what?
Choo-choo! Choo-choo!
Anyway, okay. Have you ever noticed that whenever you need to blow a hole in a wall, it always is a perfect geometric shape? Circle, square, whatever? I have. Hasn't anyone noticed that?
Never see a Klingon disruptor in action, have you?
No, because they don't try to escape. They try to destroy. Okay. How about any episode that has something to do with the holodeck? Kind of like one of those shuttlecraft things. Once you're on the holodeck, you know what's going to go wrong. Safeties are going to be messed up. Characters are going to come alive, become self-aware, cause havoc. Leave the holodeck. Try to destroy the ship, take over the ship.
Why would you keep that on your ship?
Yeah, exactly. Why do you want an android? How many times has Data tried to take over the ship? Why do you want an android?
Oh, heavens, you make it sound like it's hard. Everybody, their grandma has taken over the Enterprise.
Exactly. Yeah,
it
that's
doesn't
true.
Take much, evidently.
That is
true. Christ sakes, if the Ferengi can do it, anybody can do it.
Yep.
Oh, yep. My.
That's true.
So
just because they're so stupid and couldn't figure out how to work the computer don't mean they didn't take over the ship. They did.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And we're smart. We want new... Golly.
We can make it go.
We be strong.
We can make it go.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's steal the crew of the Enterprise. Let's steal the Enterprise. Let's steal the crew and the Enterprise. Mm-hmm. Let's abandon the crew on a planet. Let's abandon the Enterprise on a planet. Let's abandon the Enterprise and the crew on a planet. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yep.
Well, they did that to Voyager.
Yeah, they did that to Voyager.
That sounds like a Stargate Universe episode right there alone.
Star what?
Stargate Universe.
Hey, guys, do you want me to get him off the call?
Just set him on fire later. It's
yeah,
okay.
Okay, that's all right. We're going to get rid of Paul. He said star something besides Trek.
Now here, okay, but he brings up a valid point. You look at the original, or the original Star Trek, mm-hmm. Next Gen, things like that. But I mean, it all kind of goes back to the original Trek. You can look at what SG is doing. You can look at what Babylon 5 did. You can look at what, I mean, pick a show, and there are elements in each one of those shows that you can trace a straight line with a ruler right back to original Trek.
Yep.
You know, and it's always the cliches, because what they did, and it's smart, they looked at the original Star Trek, and they said, okay, what made it work? And then they took that, cherry-picked the best stuff out of it, put it in their show, and all of a sudden, it works. Why? Because it worked first in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
here's another question for you guys. Tell me something. How come in Deep Space Nine, they knew the Jem'Hadar and the Dominion and all them people were coming through the wormhole to destroy them someday? So why is it every time an attack begins, the nearest help is 2 weeks away?
Good point. Why
didn't the Federation think maybe we should build a starbase near there and keep lots and lots of ships nearby?
Well, because you had a little problem. There was somebody in between there. You want to take a guess who they were?
The Cardassians.
The Klingons.
The Klingons and the Cardassians.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Why not just build a... one of those great big planet-eating kind of machines and just point the sucker at the wormhole. Anything bad comes through?
Oh, yeah. That's there you it. Go. There you go. Eat the thing. Yeah.
Because then the show would only be 5 minutes long.
That's true.
That's why. Same reason they fall out of their chairs.
Yes. They would have actually had to come up with more storylines beyond the 4-year Dominion War. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That went way too freaking long. I mean, what was it? Third season all the way through the end of the series, beyond a few couple things where poor little Nog or whatever his name is having emotional issues because he got hurt or some way to find Odo in love with Kira. And, you know, beyond that, the 4-year war was too much.
I don't know. It was actually, I thought it was pretty well done with the arc, arc.
But. I love it. But I'm just saying, I thought it went too long. Just, you know, it just went on too far. And
well,
besides,
Babylon 5 was a 5-year mission, so.
Yes, but it wasn't the same mission, was it?
I don't know. Would you consider how they did it? Taking over the Earth was the first thing they wanted to do in the first place?
So they had to fix it. That makes sense. It makes sense. I guess so. I don't know. Did any of you ever want to shoot Kai Winn? I know I did.
Several times.
Oh, you know, you just pray for a mop handle that you can just stick up there and break that sucker off.
And you know, no, that just, won't work. Because she'll say, thank you, my child.
Best way to deal with Kai is fight a volcano thrower in there. That way you know she's not coming back ever again.
You just, the volcano would just throw up, man. She'd be right back.
How about the Kai?
Unfortunately, that didn't work too well. She actually got killed by a god.
Yeah, Dukat.
It took a godly act to get rid of her.
Yeah.
Talk about cliche.
See, he is merciful and just.
Yes. Okay. How many times was the guy who played Gul Dukat? How many different series was he in?
Ooh.
Well, I know he did a run in Hill Street Blues.
No. How many Star Trek series was he in?
Specify.
The guy who played.
Specify. We were thinking you're doing the whole.
Okay, now I'll try and make it easier for you. The guy who played Gul Dukat, how many Star Trek series was he in?
He was in.
DS9, Next Gen.
Next Gen. What did he play in Next Gen?
He played, I'm trying to think what he played.
I am Gul Maset. My aide, Glendaro Glintilla. That's who it was.
So he was still playing a Cardassian.
Yes, he played a Cardassian named Gul Maset. Now, why they didn't just call him Gul Maset in DS9, I'm curious about. I think it may have something to do with the writer on that next-gen episode. Where if he would have called him Gul Maset again, they would have had to pay him royalties.
Well, actually, no. It was because Gul Ligget was his original on Deep Space Nine. Gul Maset is a lower ranking.
No, he was Gul Dukat at the beginning of DS9.
But he was demoted to Gul Ligget.
He would have been Ligget.
DS9.
He would have been Ligget Maset, and then Gul Maset again. But what I'm saying is I think what happened is the writer, if they would have named him, kept Gul Maset, they would have probably had to pay royalties to the writer of the original Gul Maset through the entire 7 series of DS9. All 7 seasons.
Brian?
Yeah.
Now, did you hear that exchange about Cardassian rankings? Mm-hmm. They can never, ever say another word to you about your interest in Klingon.
And why is it that Worf would have been on the Undiscovered Country as a lawyer defending Captain Kirk? That makes no damn sense.
It's a family resemblance.
It wasn't Worf. It was his grandfather, if I remember right.
Named Worf.
Yeah.
So eventually it's Worf, son of Worf? Or,
no, okay. there was one between that.
So then it was Worf, then it was Mulg, son of Worf.
And then it was Worf.
And then Worf. Okay, so Worf, and then Mulg, son of Worf. Worf,
and
son
then,
of Mulg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess I should have asked you that last year, huh?
Yep.
Well, I mean, we do the same thing. In essence,
yeah.
You know, you've got my name's Timothy Graham Walker. If my father's name was Timothy Graham Walker, I'd be Timothy Graham Walker Jr. Mm-hmm. If I named my son the same thing as Timothy Graham Walker III.
Well, of course, there's a third, but not a Tim, John, and then Tim again. You wouldn't be a junior anymore on the next one, would you?
But no. That's okay. It's a family name. I was named... after the Graham comes from my grandmother.
Okay.
You know.
Alright.
So.
And Gal Dukat appeared 37 times.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. If they had to pay royalties. What? 37 is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
But every time he was on, he got a lot of screen time.
Oh, tell me about it. He was, like, way good.
He was.
So.
He played in several characters in Star Trek Generation. Including the first Romulan commander.
Yep.
Times Arrow. Uh-huh. And then
Gal
Dukat in Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Right. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. All right. Good. That's great. Great. All right. Okay.
One of these days, we'll have to try to get him on the show and ask him how he liked playing so many different characters on Star Trek.
Okay, well...
Speaking of characters, do we have any notion or idea of whether you're going to be able to interview the folks from the convention again this year?
Trekfest.
No, I was thinking closer to home.
Oh, Starbase Indy. Well, we can't announce who... Brian, shut up. We can't announce who we've been told yet, just who may be on, maybe coming to Starbase.
I don't want to know. I want to be surprised. But my question is, are you guys going to be able to be there, and are you going to be able to interview them, whoever they may be, for the Lou Trek Show?
We weren't.
Now, Matt, would I?
You can interview one of them, though.
Hold on, guys. We did not know if we were going to be able to interview anyone last time. Brian just went around guerrilla style and did it anyway. So my guess is this year I'm going to try to be there, he's going to be there, and we're probably going to do it again.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Now, so to answer your question, I'll be able to answer that for you next week, because what nobody here knows is I'm on some of the committees there at the Starbase Indy committees. Mm-hmm. I'm working on with the committees on that, so I can give you an answer next week.
Good. Do that.
Good, okay. Because I think I already know who's going to be there in the first place. So.
And I want to get a good pizza place that will deliver to me while I'm there. Got it?
Pizza Dominion.
Pizza Dominion?
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. Pizza Dominion?
Mm-hmm. And they like Star Trek.
Wow, that's
they
great.
They like Star what?
Star.
Sorry.
And I almost answered you.
No, it's just too easy. Oh. Hey guys, I do need to mention, by the way, you may remember I've been working on my master's degree, or maybe you don't remember, may not even care. But anyway, I finished it up Sunday, so I officially have my master's degree. I am did for the summer. Woohoo!
I'm sorry, master's degree in what?
Religious education.
Oh, wonderful. I wondered that.
So you got your doctorate, huh?
No, actually, I'm not going to be able to get the doctorate yet. Now, here's the squirrely side of it. The master's degree I have required 60 hours. In order to get a doctorate started, you have to have at least 75 hours of master's level courses. So in order to do that, I have to take a second master's, which is actually 93 hours, which leaves me 33 hours short. But the good side of that is all 60 of my previous hours transfer into the new degree.
Oh, good.
All right.
So 33 more hours, and I will have two, count them, two master's degrees.
Cool. So can we start calling you Doc?
No, that's not tied to the master's. That's the doctorate. You may call me Great Overlord if you choose to, but that's
no. I'll wait till you get your doctorate, and I'll start calling you Doc.
What's up, Doc? Anyway,
I'm a pastor, not a doctor. I'm a doctor, not what. Anyway, yeah, never.
You're
mind.
A doctor and a pastor.
Yeah, there
you go. So wait a second.
I'm a doctor and a pastor, man.
Let's say you were a medical doctor and your patient dies. Would you then give him your last rites and then perform the funeral ceremony? You do it all. One-stop shop.
Well, except for one thing. Uh-huh. Once they're dead, last rites don't help.
No.
Because they're dead. But I would. I could stab them, slab them, and bury them.
Okay. Question for you. Maybe you might be able to answer this question. Let's say you die. And the funeral is 5 days from after you die, to which the preacher, whatever, they do their prayers and offer you absolution so you can go to heaven. Where were you for those 5 days?
Okay. Now we're getting into...
spirituality, actually.
Well, we're getting into... religion, which is not
time and relativity.
The Catholic Church would say, yeah, really. see, there's no such thing as absolution. Once you're done, you're done. So
you had to have your last rites before you died.
You can if you want to. It's not going to make a bit of difference.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. See, you're Uh-oh. Getting into places you really don't want to go. Lou. Yeah. You're going to get little nasty emails from Catholic folks out there going, "Ah, he's bashing Catholics." No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm just, I have one source of information.
That's why I like being Klingon. There's no religion.
No. Oh, come on now. There's
Stovacor.
Yes.
There's no religion.
What are the bodies in the water? Oh no, that's the Pirates of the Caribbean. The
people talking about the Barge of the Dead.
The Great Hall of Stovacor.
The people on the boat.
The Barge of the Dead.
And there's people in. Aren't there people in the water though?
No.
No, it's the barge of the dam. It's the barge of the dam going to Feklar.
There you go,
for
Feklar.
The dishonored Klingons.
There you go, Feklar. Okay.
Doesn't that sound like just a nasty cuss word that means something really bad?
Yes, yes, it does.
Yeah.
Hey, you, Feklar.
Come here.
Hey.
I'm about
come
to.
Here, let me punch you.
I'm about to Feklar you.
I made my shuttle Feklar on the stories I write.
There you go.
My primary shuttle is called the Feklar. The
sounds
demon.
Sounds like a crazy.
Don't go there. Don't go there.
Come on, baby, give me a little Feklar.
I hear the sailor talking.
Oh, you do? Sailor, what's that mean? What do you mean,
well,
sailor?
Well, you tell me, Navy boy.
See, he tried to step me into it, but he did it himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys, I think we're about to roll it up here because we're at hour and 9 minutes, and I probably have about 20 minutes to edit out. So, we can use about.
You know what? It was fun to have all the host and the honored guests here tonight all in one shot because we haven't had this is the first time we've actually had all four of us here.
You know what we got to do?
If we could get all four of us here sober, that would probably be better.
You know, Brian.
Now, don't get drunk. I got my Jack over there in the cabinet and pull it out and start taking shots here and really make this.
The only thing I've been drinking is this right here, Sprite.
Yeah. Really?
I've been drinking blood wine, but heck.
It's all that caffeine, man. It just makes you jitter.
Hey,
I just split the Kool-Aid.
Paul, I'm not sure, but do you see on your Skype whether Mike Smith is online?
He's online.
Really? Do you think I should pull him in and see what he does?
Sure.
He probably won't do anything.
Yeah, he's probably doing tech vets right now. That is, if he ever does any more tech vets. He's been getting some crap on that lately. I don't think
he has.
Oh hell yeah! Since February, he's had like one or two shows, real shows. Oh yeah, he's been getting some. He's been getting ribbed about that. But anyway, we don't need to talk about that. All right, guys. Hey, thank you everyone for coming on. And we're gonna have to do this again. Maybe Brian, what we'll do is some kind of reunion show. We'll bring the general on. We'll bring Kim on. We'll bring the future doctor on. You know. Get everybody together. That should be interesting.
Paging Dr. Tim. Paging Dr. Tim.
Yeah.
I'm sorry he's not in right now. Mm-hmm. He's melted into a puddle of goo.
Yes.
But, yeah. No, this was fun. This was a lot of fun. It's, but it still comes down to it's so amazing to me how much of an influence this little show that didn't even last three full seasons has made such a sweeping or had such a sweeping influence over the whole sci-fi realm.
Yep.
And if you get right down to it, the stuff that has made the difference has been the cliches. I mean, Beam Me Up, Scotty.
Yep.
You're liable to hear that anywhere.
Anywhere.
On any show at any time. You just never know.
And, but is it true? I hate to extend this. I'm sorry, guys. But is it true that you never actually hear the words in that order? Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the play it again, Sam myth.
Yeah.
You know, he never says that.
Yep.
And it's the same way. It's usually Scotty, beam me up. Scotty, yes. Beam us up home.
Yep.
Scotty, you know, whatever. But it's the other way around. No. Of course, my favorite take on that is, Scotty, there is no intelligent life on this planet.
Yeah. What did he say when he was on, what was it, the Constellation? And it was going into that that Planet Eater. What was he saying? Scotty, beat me up. Beat me over.
No, I don't
Scotty.
Think, like I said, I
can't remember.
Yeah, I don't think he
now,
really
Scotty.
Yeah. Sometime now. Soon.
Anytime, yeah. Guys. Now would be a good time. No, that was Chekhov. Now would be a good time. Okay, guys. Well, you guys take it easy. Paul already dropped off. Probably that wireless service he has.
Chirp, 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 chirp.
Yeah, Yeah. Paul, you there? Paul, you there? Paul? Anyway.
Pardon me. Phrase that. Cricket.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Brian wanted to hear some crickets. Okay, so anyway, hey, Tim, thanks for coming on.
Yes, Tim, thank you for coming on tonight.
Okay, Brian.
And Paul, sorry you left, but thank you for coming on as well.
You'll get to hear how it ends. Tim was actually giving away a brand new car. Sorry you missed it. Okay.
Poor man.
Oprah!
Anyway. All right, Brian, let's start thinking about next week.
2 weeks from now, and I'll check with Kim when I see her at the meeting. I'll ask if it's all right if we give a Starbase indie update and what I can talk about and what I can't talk about.
Okay.
So in 2 weeks, we're going to find out what's going on at Starbase indie. Other than that, the Lutrex show will be there.
Yes,
okay,
we will.
Okay, now the meeting is actually this Sunday.
Yeah, actually it is. Sunday,
and you will see me there, sir.
Oh, you'll be there too?
I will.
I'm the only
one. I may even have bells on. You never know.
I hope not.
Well, I sure hope not. The last time I saw bells was on Pretty Woman.
Okay.
Well, you were in the Navy. So that. you know, Lou, one of these days you're going to get some old cranky Navy vet that's going to get on here and just tear you a new one.
Yep. Besides me.
And I want to watch. Golly!
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wait a minute. Let me. You guys keep talking a second. I want to pull something up. Go on.
Okay. Oh man, but yeah, I'm gonna. I'll be at the meeting, and because I think they kind of want to talk to me about some of the stuff that you know that I've offered to do with the magic shows and stuff, and and just kind of you know, it's the public meeting part. I mean, I'm not in on the actual staff meeting, which I think is like the first hour.
Kim sent me an email last night and asked me if I was definitely coming because she wanted me to be there at that public meeting for some reason. Yeah. And see, she asked if I could get some of the Klingons to come in for security during the convention. So, from what
I
understand,
as long as they stay sober, not a problem.
Okay.
Oh, they'll stay sober. Trust me. Klingons are bountiful, dutiful people.
Let's see,
especially
if,
especially the ones I know.
Let's see if this may be better than the Village People one. That didn't do good. So, you know, that was supposed to be Mick Hale's Navy, but here, we'll try this instead.
There you go.
There you go.
Gomer Pyle, USMC.
Oh, no, that's a Marine.
Starring Jim Nabors as Gomer Pyle.
Oh, holy!
Yeah, see,
Shazam!
What I have to do is get one for every core. Okay, guys, I gotta go.
For the one I'm trying. Operation Petticoat. See if you can find the Navy song for that one.
Operation Petticoat. Okay, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's the one where they didn't have enough red primer or enough white primer, so they mixed it and made it pink.
Made it pink, yeah.
The submarine pink.
That was great. All right. Lou, you got things to do, I know, man. All right. Thanks a bunch.
No problem.
And I'm going to get out of your hair here and just I'm always here. I have no life, and I'm through with school until August. Woohoo! Ooh-wee. So, feel free to holler anytime, man.
Well, Tim, I wish you could make our meeting in 2 weeks. We were doing a house induction ceremony, and I wanted all the house members there. But I understand you got to live and you got to work, so
You'll
be there in spirit, bro.
All righty. Well, I appreciate it, Brian, and you guys have a good evening.
You too, bro.
All right, you too. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that ain't any better, Brian. Okay. Take care, buddy.
The only other one I could think of was it was a Chelsea Kramer one where he was playing a captain and he had his slong tattooed and he was he had to take a World War II sub and get it past the modern Navy and torpedo ships across the various harbors on the East Coast.
Got it. All right, Brian. Take care, buddy. We'll see you. I'll talk to you sometime this week.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.